My name's Chris Scott, and you're listening to a podcast from the UK Wine Show. The UK Wine Show is brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company in Australia and the UK.
Hi, we're here with David Taylor from Bacchus Wine Closures. How are you, David?
Great, thanks, Chris. Great.
Excellent. What's Bacchus Wine Closures? It's obviously something to do with wine, but...
We actually make a technology which radically improves wine corks. And we've just licensed it to the second largest Portuguese cork company in the world. And it's going extremely well.
Who's the second largest Portuguese cork company?
It's Alvaro Coelho and Imaus, based in Porto.
And what is it? I've seen the cork. It looks like pretty much like a normal cork to me, the glossy ends.
Yeah. It is a natural cork, and that's particularly why we've gone for this. Basically, we wanted to improve all the defects with natural cork. Natural cork, if it worked properly, would be the best form of closure for wine. Everyone knows that. But unfortunately, it has defects. And whilst the cork industry has overcome the problem of TCA to a good extent with any of the quality companies, particularly the one that we're with, Alvaro Coelho, that you still end up with natural randomness within the structure of the cork, which causes random oxidation and premature oxidation. So basically, by putting our coating on the end of the cork, we eliminate that randomness, the bottle variation you get from the random oxidation.
Looking at the coating, it just looks... let's describe the cork first, because it looks like just a bulk standard cork with a couple of glossy plastic ends to it, or clear plastic. Would that be an accurate description?
That's an accurate description indeed. But it isn't clear plastic.
There's lots of oxygen through.
Absolutely right. We've got something which is a high-performance barrier film, the sort of thing that was used in wine boxes, bag-in-box, mm-hmm. a sort of thing that's used for covering meat trays to preserve meat in the supermarkets. It lets through about a thousandth of the amount of oxygen as a similar or equivalent polythene film would do.
And how does it perform compared to a plastic cork then? If you've got plastic on the ends, the plastic corks let loads of oxygen in. So,
yep, indeed.
Is this plastic barrier here better than a normal plastic cork, for example?
Oh, it is substantially better than a normal plastic cork. In tests, you'll find that a plastic cork, the wine will start going off from the moment it's put in the bottle. And by about 9 months, with your average plastic cork, the wine is heading to be undrinkable. Some of the better ones will last for longer. Basically, a plastic cork is a foam of polymers, and polymers are like, if you imagine a mass of spaghetti in a colander and you're pouring water, it gets through the gaps in the spaghetti, and that's the effect that we get. What we've got in ours is a high-performance polymer barrier. It's a chemical called EVOH, which is very thin. It's only 5 microns thin within the film.
What is it, EVOH?
EVOH, it's ethylene vinyl alcohol. Anyone will know about it. It's incredibly well used, known to be perfectly safe, but it has this capability of stopping oxygen getting through. So effectively, all the technology of the polymers is to put that layer of 5 microns of EVOH on both ends of the cork. And it controls oxygen to a rate of 2 cc's per square meter per day.
That sounds a bit Dutch to me. What does that mean?
It's a very, very tiny amount of oxygen will actually get through the cork. But the amount of oxygen that gets that passes through the film into the cork is the equivalent of a good quality natural cork.
Okay.
And by putting it on the corks, we ensure that every cork performs exactly the same. So you don't get this random variation across a batch of bottles.
Okay, that's interesting, because I'm an electrical engineer, and I look at a lot of stuff like electrical things. And to me, the barrier at the end is like a bit of a resistor.
Yep.
There's another resistor in the middle, and then you've got this other natural cork resistor in the middle.
Yep.
So you might have a controlled amount at each end, but you've still got a variable amount of oxygen ingress through the cork. So I can't imagine you'll get exact performance from every cork the same, because you've got a variable amount in the middle.
Because of the very high performance of the film, and because the cork in between can let anything from a similar amount to much more oxygen through, this provides the standard. Effectively, the cork is doing nothing. It's just holding the film in place. The film is actually doing the job, and the cork doesn't add that much more to it. The corks that we're using in the nano cork are basically a moderate grade cork, so there'll be a lot of variability there. Mm-hmm. And all that variability will be less than the capability, you know, much there'll be much more oxygen able to get through that cork than the barrier itself. So the whole, all those corks will perform like the barrier.
Okay, so it's a bit like two weirs, really, isn't it? You've got a weir at one end, you know, like in a boat, water passing through.
Okay.
And you've got a big ocean in between.
Absolutely.
And
everything will run at the rate of the weir. Yeah. Good example.
All right, so you've got a... Is it glued on, or how does this bit of plastic hold onto the cork?
Well, it's got to be bonded, and we use something called a reactive hot melt polyurethane. So it's basically
flash.
Yeah. It's what makes the that's what makes the nanocork work, basically. It's a very powerful adhesive designed for bonding wood to plastic. It's used in yachts, in the ocean, things like that. What's remarkable about it is that it doesn't deteriorate in contact with moisture. It's highly elastic. It actually gets stronger in contact with moisture because moisture is part of the reaction that makes it cure. Mm-hmm. So we've got this fantastic adhesive bonding the film to the end, ensuring that the film will never come off in daily use, practical daily use.
So you've got a plastic lab. What about TCA? Is this cork tank getting through?
Oh, yeah. It was designed originally as a TCA barrier, but because it took so long to get it to market, you know, by the time we've actually got it to market, we found that the TCA problem in the industry, at least with quality cork producers, is a very small problem now. For example, the corks that we're using in the nano cork have got an average TCA of 0.5 nanograms per liter extractable. And so it isn't acting in the nano cork as a TCA barrier. It's acting as an oxygen regulator. However, if it did have to act as a TCA barrier or a taste barrier, so keeping back cork tastes, it would be highly effective. It's been proven to keep back 15 nanograms per liter of TCA over 4 years to keep it below the threshold of detection until that fourth year.
Okay, so it is holding back the TCA, but some will eventually seep through at a very much reduced rate.
After 4 years, but not with the nanocork, because the nanocork has so little TCA in it anyway.
You've got the AWRI, which is the Australian Wine Research Institute, is that them?
That's correct, Chris.
And they've done a report. I had a look at your report briefly, and you compared the closure to other closures. You compared it to a Stelvin closure, a plastic cork, a natural cork,
yep.
And was there another one?
No, it was just three other closures, yeah.
And what sort of results did you get?
Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. It was very interesting. The test was done over 24 months. The report is absolute. The conclusions are absolutely glowing. The wine, which was a Semillon Blanc, was described as being fresh, fruity, intense, and long on the palate. Whereas the alternative closures had reached the end of their life. Basically, they were honey characters, esters, oxidation, high OD420. So
what's
OD420? It's optical density. So when a wine is oxidized, it starts to change color.
Yeah.
So just an amazing result.
Okay. I saw in the report that the screw cap Stelvin closure didn't perform particularly well, but I have some concerns about that because it seems that they use the same amount of sulfur dioxide as all the other.
That's an interesting point, Chris. Yeah, we'll have to go back to the AWRI about that. But certainly, the way they'd done it certainly showed that the screw cap had reduced by the 12-month point and was quite heavily reduced by the 24-month point.
Yeah, maybe if they hadn't put so much sulfur dioxide in, they may have not experienced it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But that said, we were talking earlier, and I've got some 08 Sevies from New Zealand at the moment, and they're... One of them in particular is very reduced. We're going to have to stop showing it in tastings, which is a real shame because it was a nice wine and it's just getting too reduced under screw cap.
Good. Well, tell them to use the nanocork.
So you've had AAWRI do a study for 2 years.
Yep.
And the closure seems to have performed quite well based on what you're saying anyway and what they're saying.
Amazingly well.
Yep. What sort of length of life do you think the closure has? Because natural cork has to last 20 years for Great Bordeaux.
Indeed.
At least 10 to 20 years is pretty standard. Will this, first of all, will the constituent products, the EVOH or the ethyl vinyl alcohol, get the hang of that now, and the way you've bonded it together, will that last an indefinite period of time or does it have a finite life?
We don't know. Theoretically, it's got an indefinite life. They're very robust chemicals, but we simply haven't tested it for more than 2 years, but longer over a five-year period with Albaricoelo, and they found consistency. It's not fallen apart or anything.
It's not the first closure I've seen with a glossy plastic end. I've seen other corks, and you were saying earlier there was a company called ProCork. That must have been the ones I saw. What's the big difference between your one and, say, ProCork?
Well, we're still in business and taking off, and ProCork sadly have retrenched considerably. They had an operation in Portugal, which has now closed down. They don't appear to be marketing in North America anymore, or in Europe as far as we can see. So sadly, they're not around.
But what is the difference in your product?
They didn't use the same adhesive that we've used. It was a different film, and they had a problem with the film coming off the corks, changing colour, and overclaiming, basically, without testing it for long enough. We've tested for 5 years before we've got ours out in the market, and we know it works.
Okay, and how many people are using your closures at the moment? Can I go to Tesco's and buy a wine that's got one of your closures?
No, certainly not. We've only just launched it. Albaricoelo are now marketing it around the world in all their operations in South America, North America, Europe, now Australia, and hopefully New Zealand, actually, this month. The actual number of people who are using it, there's a well-known Vino Verde company in Portugal, there's a company in Rioja, there's one in Italy, and literally yesterday I heard that we've got our first company in North America.
How does it compete on price then? Because screw caps aren't expensive, they're not cheap either, and you're saying using medium-grade quality cork, so obviously the natural cork itself can't be too expensive. How does the extra cost of the equipment add to the total cost of the cork?
It's a relatively tiny amount. The actual materials are actually 0.04% of the total mass of the cork, so it's a tiny addition. But obviously, there are special chemicals that are used. But the total thing comes to just under the price of a screw cap. It's cheaper than a screw cap.
Okay.
So that gives us that competitive edge to go into the screw cap market.
Are you manufacturing the corks yourself, or how's it being done?
Yeah, no, we don't manufacture anything. All we manufacture is intellectual property and designs. We've licensed this to the second largest cork company in the world, Albaricoelo. They have automated machinery now, which applies the film to the corks.
You said it's being marketed all over the place by them, I presume.
Yes.
Is there anywhere I can get a bottle of wine?
Portugal, Italy, Spain, probably, if it's out in the market now. But you know, all the companies that are now bottling have tested for quite a long time, so they're bottling with a good level of confidence.
Well, good luck to your closure. I think we'll wrap up the interview there, David. But thanks very much for your time, and it looks pretty good.
Well, it's a pleasure, Chris.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you very much.